These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is brought to you by Miami Grill. For over 30 years, Miami Grill has brought you big favorites from big cities, featuring authentic ingredients prepared fresh to order with the best cheesesteaks, wings, gyros, burgers, and more. Don't just bring dinner home, bring home Miami. Order online or in person. Pickup, drive-thru, dine-in, and delivery available at all locations. If you're craving it, they're making it. Bringing Miami Grill home has never been easier. With locations all over South Florida, check MyMiamiGrill.com to find yours. That's MyMiamiGrill.com to find Miami Grill. This show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a revolutionary new daily fantasy game whereby you pick 2, 3, or 4 players to go over or under their fantasy point projections, and if you're correct, you win. Pick 2 or more players from the same sport or league, or go cross leagues for your parlay. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, 5, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. But first, sign up at prizepicks.com to start winning today.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is here. Chris Kaufman is here. And as always, we are brought to you by Biscayne Bay Brewing. Check out BiscayneBayBrewing.com. You can get it at Publix, Total Wine. Have it delivered to you via Instacart. And of course, Manscaped. If you like the show, you support the show, you know what to do. Go to manscaped.com, use the promo code 5RSN, get 20% off your entire order. All right, we're going to do our two early roster predictions. But before we do that, Simon, what is the greatest draft prospect you have ever seen?
So we've just been chatting about this offline, and you boys narrowed it down to one. I had about 30. I would say that, skill position players are obviously easier to look at because they do more. So I would say Barry Sanders at Oklahoma State was fantastic. Warwick Dunn at Florida State. Calvin Johnson at Georgia Tech. The first year of Adrian Peterson at Oklahoma was, I don't think I'd ever seen anything like that. I suppose I'd probably have to go for Marshall Faulk at San Diego State. He was just phenomenal. And growing up in Britain, as I did, it was a time when we weren't getting the same information that we did now. So I would get the information mainly about college football on the Thursday after it happened on the Saturday. So 5 days later, when my weekly kind of magazine called First Down, which was the sort of newspaper that we got every week, would come. And obviously San Diego State weren't a massive school. So you'd get kind of, you know, but each week he put up, you know, 250, 300 yard games. And it was, you know, you knew there was something special, and then being able to see him on the highlights. So every Saturday night, the week after, we'd get highlights from the week before, and you just see glimpses of this kid, and you'd just be like, wow, he is, he's special. So I think probably Marshall Faulk I'd plump for. He would be the guy.
Yeah, mine is Charles Woodson in the 1998 draft. I watched them play, and there was just nothing that he couldn't do on the football field. And I really felt at the time when he was going to be drafted that he would be eventually a Hall of Famer. Sure enough, he's going in this year into a Hall of Fame. My other hot take from that draft was I looked at Peyton Manning. I didn't think he was all that special at Tennessee. So you win some and you lose some, I guess, Chris.
And then when T. Martin took over, you're like, oh, man, now there's a real quarterback.
Yeah.
No, I think I would probably have it down to two. And I actually always felt bad about this because we were chatting about this before. But it's like I kind of felt like I might be prisoner of the moment. Like, you know, whatever's newest is the best ever. But they happened to be in the same draft. It was Calvin Johnson and Adrian Peterson. I just never had seen – I mean, I obviously don't go back as far back in drafts, I think, as Simon does.
Oh, calling me old.
Yeah, I'm good. In a roundabout way. You know, Eld. How about Eld? No, I probably since about 2004 was when I really started to get a little more serious. But, yeah, I just hadn't seen a prospect like Adrian Peterson or a running back prospect like Adrian Peterson, but nor had I seen a wide receiver prospect like Calvin Johnson, and nor have I since, you know. And I think that's true of both of those guys. But, you know, if I had to say one of the guys that was the most fun to track and that I, you know, had as definite like top, you know, top one, two, three kind of pick, but you had to be a little bit aware of the risk with respect to size was I was blown away every time I watched Aaron Donald at Pitt. And I'd been watching him, you know, for several years before he had come out, and I kept comparing him to like guys like John Randall and, you know, stuff like that. And I thought he was just going to hit a home run. But a lot of people really hated him or like just constantly dismissed him. And so, you know, at some point you're looking at yourself like, oh, am I taking crazy pills? Am I just completely disregarding something that's actually really important? But he was one of the most, definitely one of the most fun that I've ever looked at.
Yeah, good prospects all. I'm looking at this 1998 draft. You had a better one, Simon, but yeah, 1998, 10 All-Pros, 4 Hall of Famers. But you said the 1996 draft, and sure enough, 14 All-Pros in the first round, 3 Hall of Famers. And yeah. it's just chock full. If you watch that, it's just a great draft. Up and down.
Hall of Famers in non-first round when you add in Brian Dawkins.
Because Brian Dawkins went in the second round, yeah.
Terrell Owens in 3, and then Adam Vinatieri was an undrafted free agent. Zach Thomas as well, 5th round, may end up in the Hall of Fame too. So
yeah.
Oh,
what a draft.
Yeah, he probably will.
I'm going to speak that into existence.
I think this is the year. I think it happens this year. I think people have been shamed enough.
Okay. 2 great AFC East kickers came out of were undrafted free agents in that draft. Who was the other one?
You say 96?
Yeah.
Alinda Mari,
yeah.
There you go.
I mean, there were some hell of players that were, when you look at it, Brock Gutierrez, Damon Heward, Michael Robinson, Casey Weidman, Larry Izzo, Ray Lucas, Adam Vinatieri, Percy Ellsworth, Alinda Mari, Hollis Thomas, John Kitner, Josh Miller. I mean, there were some decent undrafted free agents that year.
Yeah, good players in this draft. Looking at this draft, even Leroy Glover in the 5th round.
What a player.
Marco Rivera in the 6th.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. All right. It's time to do our too early roster predictions. Last year, we were actually really, really good on this show when we did this because we tried to – last year, we went by consensus. I guess this year, we're just going to throw our names out. But last year, we only missed the roster by 4 guys. 4.
That's pretty good. That's not half bad.
That's not bad, okay? Before they even played a game. And remember, last year there was no preseason. So last year we made our predictions before camp, and we missed the exact roster by 4 guys. That's pretty good. So we're going to try this again, and I guess we could go through some of these kind of fast. At quarterback, there's no way they're keeping 3, right? It's Tua, it's Jacoby Brissett. Simon?
Yeah, that's what I've got.
Same here. Right. I mean, it's not going to be Reed Sinnott.
No. No, and they're not going to keep three. All right, moving on to running back. I think it gets interesting here. Jared Doakes and Jordan Scarlett are going for one spot, I would say. I think Patrick Laird, people sleep on him. His value on special teams is considerable, and whenever he plays, he's actually effective. I think he manages to stay on the roster. Man, flip a coin between Doakes or Scarlett. I say Scarlett and Doakes, they try to keep on the practice squad. So that's Miles Gaskin, Malcolm Brown, Saban Ahmed, Patrick Laird, Jordan Scarlett. Simon?
Yeah, I've got Ahmed, Brown, Gaskin, Laird, and Doakes. I thought about putting Cephas Carter in, like sneaking him in as a running back / fullback, because I don't think they're going to keep five tight ends, but there's obviously going to be a situation where he gets tight ends in a sec. You know, they give him Smythe the contract, long as a high draft pick. Gesicki obviously is a stud. You know, Smythe is in the mix. You know, what happens to Seaton Carter at that point, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, Ahmed Brown, Gaskin, Laird, Doakes.
Chris? Ahmed Brown, Gaskin. Oh, you have Laird as well, Simon?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so you got five there.
I have got five, yeah.
Okay, now listeners, I am keeping track of this, and if any of us violates the 53-man rule by the time we get done with them, I've said that we have some sort of punishment. I'm not sure what yet, but I was suggesting shotgunning and beer, but Alf likes that. So, yeah. All right, he would actually consider that to just be a Tuesday.
It's just a regular Tuesday. I have added up twice, and it comes to 53, so I think we're in good shape.
All right.
And I'm doing it off the top of my head, so, you know,
so
I'm going to test my math skills here.
But, Alf, just to make sure, do you have Jordan Scarlett in there? Do you,
yes, I do.
You have Ahmed and Brown and Gaskin and Laird. You do have Jordan, so he's just
I have five.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with Malcolm Brown and Miles Gaskin for sure. I'm going to say Jared Doakes makes it. I think they drafted him for a reason. And then I'll give my last spot to, because I don't know. Considering Malcolm Perry's presence as a running back wide receiver, sort of, you know, I think that last spot could actually be between Ahmed, Laird, and Scarlett. And I like Scarlett a lot, so I'm gonna give him the nod. So I've only got four here.
Okay. Now it gets really difficult. I looked at this wide receiver core, and remember, we need special teams players. We already have one in Laird, which means that Laird can play the up. He can play R2, 3, 4, and 5 on the kickoff teams. He can play on the punt teams. So that makes one guy expendable, which means that Matt Collins could be on the bubble. So we're going to work it from the top. Parker, Fuller, Waddle are starters. Those are three. Preston Williams plays. That's four. Lynn Bowden, they're not going to get rid of him just yet. That's five. Jakeem Grant is the returner. That's six. And I think the rest find their way to other teams via trade or they get cut. That's who I have.
So you have just a review. You have Preston, or starting from the top, I guess, Will Fuller and Devontae Parker and Jalen Waddle. And then you also have Preston Williams, Lynn Bowden, and Jakeem Grant.
Yes. That's six. Simon.
Bowden, who's not going anywhere. He's a stud. Fuller, Parker, but I wouldn't surprise me if Parker got moved. Perry, Waddle, and Albert Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Perry, Waddle, and Albert Wilson. So Jakeem Grant, bye.
No Jakeem Grant, no Preston Williams, no Alan Hearns.
You've been trying to get rid of him for years.
I mean, come on. I like receivers who know how to use their hands.
Who catch the ball.
Yeah,
that's an unfortunate side effect.
Tends to be important.
Yeah.
I do think because of the running back situation that we could see like a hybrid like Malcolm Perry actually make it. I think he tends to be electric whenever he touches the ball.
Yeah, Perry's on my list of six. So
yeah, I know I've got him here for you. But I'm gonna start with him and say, you know, because that goes back to the fact that I only kept four running backs.
By the way, under the new rules, Malcolm Perry is still practice squad eligible, right?
Yeah, although he'd get nicked straight away.
Yeah, okay. Possibly, depending on what he does in preseason, I guess. But yeah, definitely. So, so let's start with him, and then the among the real wide receivers, it's really not, you know, too interesting until you get beyond Fuller and Parker and Waddle and Preston Williams, who I think all of us agree Preston Williams is going to be like the fourth.
He doesn't make my six.
Oh, he doesn't even make your six. Oh, no. That's right.
He makes it if Parker gets traded.
Okay.
But for me, he doesn't
make the six. I just saw the blank space, and I was like, oh, wait, you did say that. Okay, so I got those four. I think they're on. I think Lynn Bowden does make it. And then there's one more spot, and that's going to be between, like, Robert Foster and Mac Hollins. And, you know, there could be a surprise with Kyle Oxley if he shows up on special teams, because he is a big body. Like, you know, you can use him on special teams if he's got the mindset for it. Based on what I'm hearing, you know, the buzz is about Robert Foster. So I'm going to give him the nod as a sixth real wide receiver, but it'll actually, you know, it'll look like seven because Malcolm Perry is more of a running back wide receiver.
All right. Now moving on to the offensive line. I think we all have the same five as starters. I got it as Austin Jackson, starting from left to right. Austin Jackson, Solomon Kinley, Matt Skura, Robert Hunt, Liam Eikenberg. Those are those five starters. I think Michael Dieter sticks as a backup center guard. That's six. DJ Fluker can play every position except center. That's seven. And now for the eighth is where it gets a little tougher, but I think Jesse Davis will not be traded. I think they'll think he's too valuable. And I think he might even challenge Kinley for a spot. So Jesse Davis is the eighth, and that's a pretty versatile offensive line. Could be a good one. Simon.
Yeah, I've got nine. I think Jesse Davis will end up starting. He's just the sort of guy that they like. So I've got Jesse Davis, Liam Eikenberg, Robert Hunt, Austin Jackson, Solomon Kinley, Matt Skura, Michael Dieter, DJ Fluker, and Robert Jones.
Robert Jones. So Robert Jones is your ninth. So you have the same as
I have the same as eight Alf. As Alf, but with Jones as an addition.
That's a good shout. I think that there's going to be competition behind Matt Skura at center, and I kind of wonder. I mean, there's some buzz about Cameron Tom. And what they see in him. Obviously, Michael Dieter is kind of looking to be that guy right now. There has to be somebody who can snap other than Matt Skura, right? I mean, this is not a question. It has to be somebody. So between those two, I'm gonna say Cameron Tom. I'm gonna say he might be the surprise. I think that obviously Kinley and Robert Hunt at the guard positions are going to make it. I think that Liam Eikenberg and Austin Jackson for sure. But then, you know, who do you go? I think I wonder about them suddenly signing Jermaine, the English guy. I wonder about that, but I'm not gonna go ahead and put him on the roster just yet. I think DJ Fluker makes a lot of sense right now because of his versatility. And then aside, I tend to think that they're going to carry nine. So I think that we do have Jesse Davis and the surprise, or I don't know if it's a surprise, but it's a guy that'll make it. I'm going to go ahead and say, Robert Jones as well. So my
reason I said, I said Jones is that they paid him a lot of money in terms of a signing bonus, $130,000.
And that's the one where I disagree really is just that I think there's going to be a back or a position battle for the backup to Skura, between Tom and Dieter. And I wouldn't be surprised if Tom makes it, wins that.
Yeah. I could see Tom beating Dieter out.
All right. Now this is the really interesting one because at tight end, you got to figure Seathan Carter has already made the team. His contract kind of hints at it. Right. But they picked up Carl Tucker from Alabama. He's a sledgehammer fullback. Do they want to keep a fullback on this team? Because if they do, you got to think Seathan Carter is that fullback, right? So I reluctantly have to cut Carl Tucker, although I really like him as a football player, which means Gesicki, Adam Shaheen, Hunter Long, Seathan Carter are the four tight ends for me. And Durham Smythe is playing somewhere else via trade, maybe a seventh round pick from somebody.
So do you have, could you say again, do you have five?
I have four. Gesicki, have four. Shaheen, Carter, okay. Long.
Okay.
I think, like I said earlier, they might, like Laird could lose out if Carter is shifted to some sort of hybrid fullback. But for me, it's Gesicki, Long, Shaheen, and Smythe.
Yeah, I think Seathan Carter does make it. His contract is, to me, like that's a contract of a player that you think is going to be on your roster. And I think that it's a big deal, like what he does on special teams. And in addition to that, I happen, just based on looking at his college tape and knowing Godsey's history and where he's from, who he's worked with, I would not be surprised if he sees a little bit of Aaron Hernandez and Seathan Carter in the way that he plays, the things that he can do. Seathan Carter actually took carries, you know, back in college, you know, and so I think that I think they look at him as a versatile guy. So he's on there, you know, Gesicki is obviously on there and Hunter Long is obviously on there as well. I think this is going to be a 5-man position. I think that it's going to be Shaheen and Smythe in addition to those other guys, Seathan Carter and Mike Gesicki, Jabril Blount and Chris Myrick on the outside looking in. But I do think it's going to be, you know, a heavy position for us.
I think the interesting battle will be whether or not they feel comfortable enough with Ahmed Brown, Gaskin, and one of Doakes and Scarlett to the point where they just think, you know what, Patrick Laird, it's been good, but, you know, we've got guys that can play special teams and we feel really comfortable with the four guys that we've got in the running back room.
Going back to what Alf said about the fullback, you know, Carl Tucker, the hammer, you know, what do they think about that? I think that they've added some, I mean, if you look at the thematically what they've added in the running backs unit this year, they've added a lot of, you know, beef and power. Malcolm Brown right away. Then they draft Jared Doakes. They signed Jordan Scarlett. All those guys are hammers, right? They are really trustworthy in short yardage situations. They break tackles physically. And I wonder if, you know, they're going to, if they keep a position that's heavy on some of those guys, like maybe keeping two or even three of those types on the roster, if they'll ultimately feel like, well, okay, we don't really need a Carl Tucker because we can just throw two halfbacks on the field. And one of these guys, you know, he's 230 pounds or whatever. He hits like a truck. So, you know, he can do the job.
All right. I ended up with 25 offensive players. Now we all have to add our specialists. And I think, you know, it's the three. It's Polardi, it's Jason Sanders, and Captain America, Blake Ferguson. That will take me to 28, Simon.
Yeah, same three takes me to 29.
Okay, Chris?
I don't even think about it, but yeah, well, I'll go with you guys.
Well, you got to think about it if we're going to get to 53.
Yeah, I'll plug it in, but I'm just, you know.
That's kind of
I didn't spare many brain cells toward it, though.
Okay, the defensive line, a lot of good players here, but I think this is easy. I think they keep seven, all right? And the seven that they keep are Wilkins, Raekwon, Ogba, Adam Butler, Zach Sealer. That's five. That's the main rotation. The end of the bench is going to be Jason Strobridge, John Jenkins. That's my seven.
I've got six: Butler, Davis, Ogba, Sealer, Wilkins, and Strobridge.
You do not have Jenkins then, right?
I do not have Jenkins. I'm kind of going basing on what they had as the roster in terms of numbers, both at the start and the end of the season. And the numbers matched up. So, like, they had five backs, six receivers, four tight ends, nine offensive linemen, six defensive linemen, seven linebackers, and 11 DBs. So I've kind of gone the same.
You know, people forget about that. That is still on the roster, at least according to the official roster on Miami Dolphins website, is Jonathan Ledbetter.
Yeah. I had him here. I had him on my bubble. Also, Tyshon Render, who always looks good in camp.
Yeah. I don't see it with Tyshon, but I think that Adam Butler is here for a reason. I think, you know, they went ahead and grabbed John Jenkins just in case. I'm not going to put him on the roster. I think Raekwon Davis and Zach Seeler and Christian Wilkins are obvious. But, you know, once you get beyond them, it's Adam Butler and Emmanuel Ogba, or Ogba is obvious as well. It's Adam Butler and then someone else. That's to me. And is that Jason Strowbridge? Could Jonathan Ledbetter rise up and claim?
Nick Coe is the other guy. Nick Coe was a decent player at Auburn. And,
Nick Coe, yeah, Nick, you know. Nick Coe, he's like a, he's a big dude. He's like, yeah. He's got a frame. But yeah, and so I think between Ledbetter, Strowbridge, Coe, somebody's going to emerge from that. You know, they seem to really like Strowbridge before. So I'll go with him. So that I have six.
All right. I'm doing a little math here, and I'm going to add another specialist. Malcolm Perry will be my fourth specialist.
Okay. All right. That brings us to unanimous on Malcolm Perry getting making the roster.
Yeah, because I'm looking at my DBs. I wanted to keep at least 10. I can't get to 11, so – let's do the linebackers first, because I think that this group is really interesting. I have seven. Let me see. Seven linebackers. Okay. Which are Van Ginkle, Jerome Baker, McKinney, Jalen Phillips. Those are the snap getters. Brennan Scarlett is number five as a special teamer. Duke Riley is also a special teamer. That's six. And the seventh guy will be a Landon Roberts. I think Vince Beagle probably gets traded. I just don't, the numbers work against them, I think.
I've got Baker, Beagle, Riley, McKinney, Roberts, Phillips, and Van Ginkle.
Baker, Beagle, McKinney, Riley,
Roberts,
Jalen Phillips, obviously.
Yeah.
Landon Roberts.
Yep. And ABG. Yeah.
So am I getting that you have, you both have seven, and you both have the exact same seven.
No, yeah. I've got Beagle. Alf's got Scarlett.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. All right. Good correction there. That's a good question. That's a good shout as far as the competition goes. That'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I think that it is going to be Vince Beagle making the roster. And I think they might actually like him a lot more than people realize. And so, you know, there's obvious guys like Baker and McKinney, Van Ginkle and Phillips. But then I think Vince Beagle makes it. I think Duke Riley is an excellent shout because of his special teams ability, but also he's a coverage. Like, who's going to be a coverage specialist in the linebackers unit if Jerome Baker ever comes out, right? It's not going to be Agwavon to me. I'm not going to have a Landon Roberts making the roster. And I think that there could be – you know, I think that he could be kind of in orbit, like they'll sign him if they need him, you know, because they know he can come right in. I don't know that he's going to go ahead and get another job right away. So, you know, they might just keep him in the Rolodex. So I think that I would have those guys, the six, and then that would give me one more spot for Brennan Scarlett, because I think there's a reason he's here.
All right. Defensive backs, I got 10. Byron Jones, Eric Rowe, Javon Holland, Xavier Howard, that takes you to four. Justin Coleman is fifth. Nick Needham is sixth. And those are your top rotation guys. Jason McCourty sees some time. That is seven. Brandon Jones is eight. Noah Igbinoghene is nine. And the 10th, man, it's a tough one. Pro Williams, I don't think is athletic enough for what they want. Jamal Perry has played enough. Could Fajelidom make it once again as a special teamer? I say no. I say Jamal Perry is the 10th. And that's my roster.
I've got McCourty, Justin Coleman, Holland, Howard, Igbinoghene, Brandon Jones, play an integral part, Byron Jones, Nick Needham, Eric Rowe, Jamal Perry, and Clayton Fajelidom.
All right. Okay. You got Brandon. Did you say you had Brandon Jones?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
McCourty, Coleman, Holland.
Just Just want to make sure on that.
Yeah, Noah, Brandon, Byron, Eden, Rowe, Fajedlin, Perry.
Alf's got 10 here.
I've got 11.
You've got 11 guys.
Yeah.
So you do have Perry as well. You do have Perry as well. And I do. So the difference here is that you have.
I just have a Fajedlin that Alf doesn't.
You just have an extra Fajedlin.
I have an extra Fajedlin.
Yeah. So I think that Justin Coleman will make it. You know, there's the obvious Xavier Howard, Byron Jones, Javon Holland, Eric Rowe. I think those guys are obvious, but I also think that pretty obvious is Noah Igbinoghene as well, and Jason McCourty. I think that all those guys are definitely in there. It's just a question of who gets the other spots. They're not done with Brandon Jones yet. I think that I would, you know, sort of, if I have a surprise guy in here, I would look at, there are actually two that I would think about. And they are, Javaris Davis, the corner from Auburn. He's fast. He's very athletic. I think he's versatile. And then, you know, Nate Holly is a guy that's going to be interesting to watch because he might notch something for them on special teams. But also, you know, if you look at this roster and think about the secondary and what it might be missing, you know, that's sort of bigger hammer at the safety position. That's Nate Holly, right? And who else is that among the guys that we're even talking about making the roster? It's not Eric Rowe. I mean, that's not really Javon Holland. Brandon Jones, you know, his size is what it is. So I kind of would give the nod to Nate Holly there as the last and 10th of the defensive backs. But I keep wanting to keep an eye on Javaris Davis because of how athletic he is, and I think that he can play a couple of different positions.
I think Holly, Fajedlam, and Brian Cole are in a battle. The three of them. Do you know what I mean? As they're all sort of similar size, similar weight, 210, 212, right. 207. Mm-hmm. You know, they're slightly bigger thumper guys. You know, all can play special teams.
And Alf has none of them.
Alf has none of them. Yeah.
So we have gone through the entire roster and nobody has violated the 53 man rule.
We're good at this. I wanted
to come up with a punishment.
Yeah, we have a little bit of time here. Okay. I wanted to ask about one guy and one guy in particular. Well, two guys. Simon, thoughts on Trill Williams and Javaris Davis, because they come in with some hype, as in they really do have a shot to make the roster. I don't see it for really physical reasons and athletic reasons. Javaris Davis is too small. Trill Williams is not fast enough. Your thoughts on those two guys? Are they just fodder?
I don't mind Davis, but like you say, the height thing, would be a concern, would be an issue. I think Williams is quite an interesting guy. I mean, he's this, you know, he's big. He's sort of 6'2", 200 pounds, you know.
Yeah.
He started everywhere for Syracuse. He played corner, he played nickel, he played free safety, he played a bit of box linebacker. I think he's athletic, I think he's quick, I think he's fast, I think he's probably a little bit stiff in his hips. So I think he's probably going to be a nickel safety, and I think he'll end up in that kind of mix. Don't forget, he was on Bruce Feldman's freak list, 2020 freak list. He had a 40-inch vertical. He ran a 4.33-40. He was a team captain. He was a captain at Syracuse. You know, he's had some injury problems, but he's an athlete. Do you know what I mean? So I wouldn't rule Troy Williams out of the mix. What I would say is that he has to stop wearing 51 because that's fucking annoying.
Chris,
as I said, Javaris Davis, you know, I think he might really have a chance. I mean, yes, there's a height issue, but I know he's fast, and I know he can keep up. He and Jalen Waddle had some decent battles. Jalen Waddle ultimately got the better of him, but I think that he's got a chance. With Trill, honestly, when I watch it, I'm just not seeing it, and I know he was on the freaks list, Bruce Feldman's freaks list, but I've seen guys on Bruce Feldman's freaks list that, you know, didn't end up being freaks, or maybe being freaks in a different way. I mean, if you saw what Bruce Feldman said that what's his name, the wide receiver that the Rams got that we liked out of Louisville, Simon, do you remember
Tutu Atwell?
Yeah. If you saw what Bruce Feldman had Tutu listed, but like said, this is what he is versus what he showed up. It's ludicrous, you know, and I wonder if that happened with Trill Williams, to be honest, because I don't see the athleticism that much when I watch him. You know, he showed up at his pro day. He ran a 4.59, you know, he did all right jumps, you know, 36 inch, 10 foot three. It's not necessarily the player I see that's just like drips with all this great athleticism. I don't really see it with him, and I haven't.
All right. The next time we talk to you guys, we'll start breaking down camp, because we will be exactly 2 weeks away from camp, and we'll get into some of these battles. And who knows? Maybe there'll be a trade from now until then, because as I look at this roster, there's some tradable pieces on here. I think there's some sixth-round picks that they can pick up, some seventh-round picks, and maybe even a third-round pick for one of those wide receivers.
I think the wide receiver is the area where they'll end up trading guys.
I mean, they have to. Like, I mean, they've just got too many.
Yeah, it's a shame that Preston Williams has been injured these last 2 years, because his production could have netted the Dolphins a pretty nice pick, I think. Maybe a third. But we shall see. All right, that's it. There is no more. We will talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.